missionaries, we are called to carry the gospel, to speak the gospel. But some are professional missionaries and have that call to be a missionary proper. So we will help them do what God have called them to do. And because there are so many people who are not like us who are saved, us who have been born again. And so therefore, we continue to witness and tell other people about the gospel of Christ, hoping that they will receive what we have received. You see, when Christ told Nicodemus that you must be born again, and don't marvel that I said that you must be born again. You see, it is a necessity that mankind be born from above in order to see the kingdom of God. You see, there's a lot of people that's living around us, no matter how educated they are, no matter how famous they are, no matter how wealthy they are, or the things that they have, those things and being in that position in this life sometimes make them believe that's all that they need. But that's not true. And some believe if I can be good to people, I can give people, I can use my money to feed the poor or whatever a good thing that I may do, it may get me into the kingdom of heaven. But that's not true. So therefore, we have missionaries all over the world, and even in those places that seem to be hopeless, but they try to get the gospel in. Even to a point, many have lost their lives because they realize no matter how the people, whatever condition the people are in the back countries or wherever, they all need one thing, and that's the gospel. Do not believe the lie that you are okay without the gospel. So we celebrate the missionaries. We thank God for the missionary. But don't you forget to be a missionary in your era of influence, because it is very important. And I want to look at a few things today to stir our minds up. Okay, thank you, brother. To stir our minds up and bring us all together about why it's so important to have Christ in your life. My message is 7 things the believer cannot do without. 7 things that a believer cannot do without. Now this is good when we look at these scriptures and things, because there are a lot of people that believe they can do without these things. But we who are believers realize we are who we are because of these things. Okay? And we also realize without these things being given to the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ, mankind will die in their sins. And God has spoken through his word. God has given us his word that we could believe what thus said the Lord and change our lives. You see, you and I, who fully realize the change that the gospel have made in our own personal lives, many times it has changed your journey. It have changed your influence. It have changed, it have even make you think about what you do, because you're not the same anymore. Now, you may still go ahead on and do it, but behind the new birth, it'll make you think, you know, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or I shouldn't do this, and I don't want to break God's heart. Because our flesh is not eradicated, many times you would do it anyway. But I'm telling you something. When you have become a believer, you may do it, but whatever we do that's against God, there are consequences that we face, and they don't go away. You follow what I'm saying? But still we are forgiven. Still we are in better a sinner. I mean, I'm not trying to encourage nobody to sin. But when you're born again, if you sin, you're still better off than those who have never been born again. You see, because our sins have been paid for. That's not giving us license to sin. It's just telling us our position. See, do not tell me my position because you think about giving me license. You see, when the word of God has spoke on my position and you say you are a word person, you got to give me what the God say about me. Do you follow what I'm saying? But many times we try to play God and we try to put pressure on people because we figure we can stop them from sinning. And God is saying, no, that's why I pay for the past, the present, and the future sin of mankind. Now, I will chasten my children. I don't need you chasing them. See, sometimes we want to do the chasing because you don't believe God doing his job. Let's tell the truth about it. I'm trying to free everybody. I'm trying to free the one trying to whip folk and the one that need a whipping. I'm trying to free everybody. I'm telling you, see, folk about to say amen no matter what position you fall in. You know you're trying to whoop folk. Oh, Lordy. But here's the danger in that. When you try that can make you forget everything you've learned about Scripture. Christ said, I will chasten you, my children. Because if you see a lot of them not chasing, it may just not be mine. Yeah, Hebrews. Yeah. He said, your earthly father chasing you, love them. Huh? Oh, my God. Oh, God. See, when God tell you he'll chase his children, he said, get out of my business. Now, by the way, a lot of times it's children that's in his business. They're going to do some chasing. You better watch out because he may turn around and chasing you. Now, see, the word go out for all of us, and it cuts. Now, they'll say, oh, it ain't for me. Throw it over there. That, oh, Lord, it's hitting them. It's hitting them. No. It is hitting us. Now, anybody been there? We've been on both ends of that thing, haven't we? Can we tell the truth? But watch this. When you get on that end, you're going to chase somebody else for the Lord. You forget you ain't God. And you forget that your flesh is not eradicated. You ain't got no business. Now you do what God tell you to do. You can warn them and stuff like that in love. But leave the other out. Leave it alone. Because what we do, we don't outright say it. But we kind of like look and take our bones. Now, Lord, now you're real good and everything. But you get that Jonah situation. Now, I want you to do something to Nineveh. And you said, but you want to send me to free him. You want to send, see, and I know how good you is. Because I know how good you is to me. Huh? But I don't want you to spread your goodness on them evil people. I want you to put your wrath on them. I want it to stay right there. Huh? Well, come on now. So what I'm going to do, if you're going to show them your love, you ain't going to show them your love through me. Tell you that. That's one thing you want, because I'm going to go the opposite way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God want to show his love, and he want a vessel, an instrument to do it through. And watch your mouth, your heart language. When God want to show that through you and you don't want him to show it through you, at that point, we got to remember we're not our own anymore. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. See, I'm not guessing what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And every now and then we need a reminder. God, you're a little too slow for me. Oh, I would have, I knew what you would have done. I should let you die in your sin. No, no, we ain't talking about that now, Lord. You see that commercial on TV? Come on. What is it? They got death is coming to the lady's house to destroy her refrigerator or something. Y'all seen that commercial? And she got on her knees, you know, and drowning all that. You know how much this refrigerator costs? Talking about how your refrigerator would die on you. And then she said, oh, you kill me. And then he came like, and she, no. And it was just a commercial. But when it came to her, she backed off. Amen, amen. Let me, y'all pray for Pastor. You know, a lot of times when you're real like this, you get yourself in trouble. Because most people are not. They hide things. They all clogged up. I got to let that stuff go. Amen. So let's look at these things. James 2:20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. There are many things in life we can well do without, but there are at least seven, and it's probably more than that, things a Christian simply cannot do without. And the first thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do without the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. I want you to walk with me. He is speaking now that the world that don't have Christ, they have no hope. See, you can have money and no spiritual hope. You can have fame and no hope. You can have brilliance and no hope. You don't want that. But he's talking about before now. He says, having no hope and without God in the world. See, it's God's world, and God, through his mercy and grace, is sustaining us. All right? But you can be in this world and not have a personal relationship with the God who created this world. And therefore, you're in this world without God in your life. And so, but as a believer, we have to have Christ in our lives. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. But those heathens back in that time did not have him. As Paul was speaking to them, there's having no hope and without God in this world. So we got to have Jesus Christ. So watch this. See, there's a lot of religions. There's a lot of religious activities going on all around us. Are we right about it? And I don't know how to even number how many religions that there are. But I tell you this. You can have all the religion you want, but Christ is not the head of that religion. You are without God in this world. You see? So what we're saying, what a Christian, see, we can't do without Christ. See, you cannot take Christ out of our life and replace him with anything that would give us all we got is in Christ. Everything you got came from you being in Christ, Sister Arlene. You follow what I'm saying? So all that other stuff, no matter how it looked, how spiritual it looked, how big the buildings are, how magnificent the furniture is. It doesn't make any difference if you don't have Jesus Christ as your sin barrier and you don't praise him as that. You are in this world with your things, but you're without God. The next thing, not only do we need that, as Paul let us know, we need Christ's shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 and 1 Peter 1:18-19. We as Christians need the blood of Christ. Walk with me. You got to walk with me because it'll help you even when you're talking to people who don't have this. Because a lot of people want to know, why you guys praise Christ? Why you see him as the only way? Come on now, there are older religions than you guys, and I just can't believe you stuck up on one, that he's the only way. So what I'm saying, as believers, this is what we need. Now, I don't know what other religions need, all right? Maybe they need to go to Mecca. I don't know what they may need. Maybe they need to pray so many times or whatever. Maybe they need to work for their salvation. Work to the end, see what the end gonna bring. I don't have to work to no end and not knowing. But work. No, he worked. He worked on that cross when he despised the shame, but still marched on to Calvary. That was work. That was work when they plucked out his beard and not to strike him down. It was work when they spit in his face. It was work when they would blindfold him and beat him and say, who hit you? Tell me who hit you. You're a prophet. It was work from just speaking destruction in that person's fist. You draw it back, but I'm going to make it drop off your body. It was work holding back the angels. It was work. I tell you what the work was. I'm not working for my salvation. I'm just glad about it. This missionary Sunday, ain't it? But I want to tell you what the story is about. See, I don't know what I'm saving. Now, I don't have that. Because I got an understanding who worked to give it to me. I got to have Jesus. I don't care what you want, they want, or he want. Bishop sounding brass. And evangelist ticking symbol. I don't care what it is. See, I know what I got in Jesus. I gotta have Jesus. I gotta have the shed blood. See, I know my sins can be forgiven because the blood of Christ. That is the price. That's heaven's currency. See, when that blood hit heaven, everything is paid for. When he saw the blood, I'll pass over. Huh? The blood of the doorpost. When he was bringing them out of Egypt. See, Egypt is a type of the world. But when God said, I want my people to come out. But you know what? A shadow of the Lamb of God put that blood over that doorpost. Now, by faith, put it over there, and I'll save your house. See, we don't live by works. We live by faith. I'm telling you what we got to have. I don't know what other religions got to have, but we can read some books and find out. But when I read the book of the Bible, I don't just say, well, we got to have these things. I got to know so. Why it got to be Jesus. I got to know so. Why the blood has to be shed. And I know that it was shed on Calvary. Rakesa. Huh? And see, but the first scripture we hit, there are those who are in the world, your co-workers, those in the military with you, those who are in college and high school with you. And I know sometimes we are so wrapped up in the world trying to get this and get this and move to another level in the world, and we forget what we got. So while I'm trying to move up the ladder, and I got Christ in my life, and I die, I know I'll be absent from the body, but I'll be present with the Lord. Why is that? Because we prioritize, I got to have Jesus. It's a necessity as a believer that I have Jesus, and I can't do without the blood. Take the blood out the hymn books. No, take the blood out the Bible. You keep that one that ain't got no blood in it. Because if that one can't do nothing for me. See, those lambs that were slaughtered was a type of the lamb that came to take away the sin of the world. Let me move on. He put that up in you. Okay, all right, all right. So I'm giving you the scripture so you can go back. See, this is the crazy thing. Some will come and listen. Now, someplace you can't pick up this. You can go back, check for yourself. You can go see that crazy man preaching. But you know, a lot of people don't want that. They don't want, some do now. Some say, okay, show me what it said, and I'm going to check this out and read it, put it in the hole, and see what's going on. But if you don't give me no address, I can't do that. Now, it is so important. Your lives, now watch this. We love our relatives, don't we? Our mothers, sisters, and brothers, and whatever, we love them. Now, but not having the knowledge of how to save somebody, and ain't nobody in that wreck but you and that loved one. You may be going to a ball game or something, and you're holding them in your arms, and they're dying in your arms, or your coworker, or friend, or girlfriend, or boyfriend, and they're slipping, and you see it. And you're praying, you're doing all you can. And it'd be a shame if that person say, I believe I'm not going to make it. Do you know how I can be saved? Can you help me with that? I can give you some crazy stuff. No. They are going. They are slipping and they're asking you. If they close their eyes and have never received Jesus Christ, God tell us about, see, there's two destinations. Everybody not going to open up your eyes and see Jesus. See, you see people throw that quote out, absent by the presence of the Lord. They say it for everybody. But it's from those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and the blood have paid for you. See, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you don't allow the blood to pay your penalty. You don't permit the blood to pay for your sin. See, you got to acknowledge that you want it. It's there to pay for it. You were saying, oh, God said, look, the blood has already been shed. The blood is going to pay. Once you okay, you want to be born again. See, the blood already shed. It ain't going to be shed again. He ain't going back to Calvary. But it has, bloop, your name just jumped right in the blood. My Lord, my God. Let me move on. How many did I give you? Two? Okay. Now, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ. What makes that blood so precious? Because Christ's blood is the only blood that had no sin in it. None whatsoever. It won't defile. That's why it was a virgin birth. It was the seed of a woman. That is a miracle. God said, yeah, you got it right, Rick, because I wanted that birth to be a miracle virgin birth because I didn't want man's seed to be involved. Because Adam's seed is intimidated. It's just sinful. So it's going to come from the second Adam. is not going to have anything to do with that. The Holy Spirit going to overshadow Mary, and she's going to have Jesus. The next one is Christ's sinlessness. We can't do without it. See, we had to have Christ with no sin. See, he started out when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, no sin. Now, no matter how the folk treat him and beat him and all these kind of things, he didn't sin. Even after he was fasting 40 days in the wilderness, and Satan tried to tempt him when he was through, wanted him to go against the Father, go against the Holy Spirit, and wait on God to feed him. He said, no, if you be who you say you be, turn these rocks into bread. But he knew who he was. And he would always work in harmony with the Father and the Spirit. Doing this before time would have been off. And it would have been sin. But he knew no sin. He did not sin. We needed that. The Lord Jesus was in all points tempted like we, as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Therefore, he could die for our sin. See, he had to be without sin, or we wouldn't have no Savior. There is no Savior that's a sinner that would save us before our God. None whatsoever. He could die for our sins. Faith in Christ. Not only must we have a sinless Savior, but we must have faith in Christ. Hebrews 11:6 tell us without faith it's impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's another thing. You can't say you are born again, you are God's child, and you do not have faith in the one he sent to deliver us. See, let me tell y'all something. Something simple. Whenever another religion demotes Christ, run from it. Run from it. This just something simple. Something simple. We ain't got to get no deep theology on their doctrine. Look at what those other religions say about Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. If they say he's one of the gods, run. Because you demoted him. If they say he's not God, a great prophet, a great man, but he is not God. Now, if they tell you, well, Jesus Christ is subordinate to Jehovah, you're going to be able to mess you up now. Or God the Father. Okay. What you do for me, ask that person before you jump on them and say, what are you talking about? How is he subordinate? Say, I got you right there. I got you. Say, I didn't just jump right on. No. How is he? And watch their reaction. Gene, when you ask them this, they got to fumble. When you just jump on them, they can just walk away proud. No. Tell me. Explain it to me. How is he?
And
he said, where are you going with that, Pastor? Are you saying in position? Are you saying in essence? What are you talking about? He said, boy. Talk to me. See, that's when you mess them up, because they want to tell you he's not God, the Father, or whatever they want to say, or whatever name they want to give him. But when you go to John 1:1 and say, in the beginning was what? Was the Word, the Logos. And then you keep reading and say, the Word was what? Huh? With God, and the Word what? You got to seal that right there. You got to say, before I move on, I got to see, and I know the Bible tell me the Word was God. Then when you read on, what it says? 14, what do it say? The Word became flesh, that's Jesus. Wait a minute. In the same context, it says that person who was the Word was God. And God became flesh. That's Jesus. So, see, it was God in Christ reconciling the world back unto himself. Huh? So what do you mean he was subordinate? Yes, he took on a body and he pleased the Father. But he never, in essence, was subordinate. So when you ask, because they don't know what they're talking about, but they want you to just holler at them and then move on. No. What you mean he was a boy? He was a good man. No, what you mean? Huh? Or you mean, what you really mean, he was not God? Well, that's unbiblical. See, so missionaries and whatever they're facing, like I don't know how many dead gods that Enoch say this over in India that they have to deal with, but you know what? There are some things we need to know. I don't want nobody that's a member of this church struggling with your salvation. Let it be based on Bible. Please. Yours, mine, because Satan will hit you with some crazy things. He hit me with some crazy things. He hit me now with some crazy thoughts and crazy stuff. Like, my Lord, I mean, you see a man hurting and you jump all over him with all kind of mess. So it's like, I got to get you in your weakness. I got to see, Satan is a dog. I want to catch you when you're weak. But it's something about this Word, though, huh, that strengthen you. That roll back your curtain and say, look at what you can't do without Rick. Talk about it. And take your doses as you're talking about. You take your shot of it. I can't do without the shed blood. Hallelujah. I just can't do without him. Because if I don't have it, I'm stuck with all my sins. The ones I don't even want to remember. I'm glad he have thrown them as far as the east as from the west. And that he'll remember them no more. Talk to me, somebody. You must feel real good about your sins, because that don't move you. Don't make God tell you when. And don't make him tell some of y'all now. Y'all, I'm telling you the truth. This thing is real. I love it on the real side. Don't give me all that stuff. Oh, and God and this and God. Man, people dying. My sister, we just buried her. I want her to know the truth. I love my sister. And she knew the truth. She knew the Lord as her Savior. Her children want to know that she's born again. She loved Jesus. Didn't mind shouting about him. Try to get all the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, la-di-da-di, everybody she tried to bring them to church. They wouldn't come, but she did her best. And I want to talk about what we got to have. So you can put it in your little box. I got to have this. Okay, let me move on. Am I making any sense? Okay, let's move on now, because I don't want to get stuck. You know I get stuck with this. Okay, I gave you three. I gave you four. Okay. So y'all picking up back here too, right? Okay, four. What did I say, four? Oh, you're right. You're right. Thank you. See, that's one thing about when you use the word, but when people follow you, they can put you right back on track. A fifth is faith-generated works. Faith-generated works. True faith in Christ inevitably produces good works. Don't tell me you got faith in Christ, you are a Christian, and you never produce no good works. Not only do you not produce no good works, you ain't even mad about it. You're not even questioning yourself. If I got genuine faith, it should show itself off with my good works. Now, this is not talking about working for your salvation, but it's just saying the kind of genuine salvation, your faith would generate good works. As our text reminds us, faith without works is dead. And what James meant by that, he is saying, if you got a faith and you're calling your faith is what's saving you and what you believe that puts you in the position of being a Christian, and it produced no good works, have no intention of producing no good works, and you just happy to say you're a Christian, James is saying, James will put an acid on our faith. I like to say, he'll get acid test. He's okay. I ain't gonna argue with you. You say you got faith, show it to me. Show it to me. He said, I'm gonna show you mine by my works. Okay, so here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wrote that and is saying it will produce. Even with our flesh not being eradicated, true faith in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will produce some good works. You know, it's going to happen because what you got is genuine. See, a lot of times, because we really don't know who we are, that's why we struggle a lot of times with doing some things God would tell us to do. Really, a lot of times, because a lot of times when I know who I am and I know what God say I should be producing, and I know that I'm genuinely saved, I should have a problem with not producing. See, I'm talking about personal. I'm talking about nobody else looking in on me. I'm saying, I got to understand scripture to get to this point. See, I need to know why I should be doing self-inventory. Scripture will open up your understanding like that. Just hollering at somebody and all of a sudden, that ain't going to make somebody want to fight. But I'm telling you something. Scripture will make you do self-inventory when you understand scriptures as they have been biblically presented to us by the Holy Ghost. I will question myself, why I know I'm saved, why do I struggle so hard with doing good works? Huh? Why do I just struggle with it? Why I don't love it? Right? That's just that saying we're perfect. We're not talking about perfect. We're talking about now good works. And these good works are coming from all imperfect people. See, because a war going on inside of you. You do know that, right? You do know, not yet. In a sense, you are being saved. Well, you got a little deep there. Let me move on. Don't let nobody fool you now. They come with the mess they want to. I'll sit down with you. And no, come on, no, you being saved. Let's. I know what you're doing right now, but you being saved. When they know what I'm talking about, they back up. They know exactly what. See, that's when you know somebody knows the scripture. I see them just going. I said, hold it, brother, hold on. I'm going to get out your way now. Remember, doctor, out here tearing everybody up. You being saved, then I just walked away. They know exactly what I'm talking about. They know exactly what I'm talking about. The person they're talking to may not even know. And they might not even know I just pulled that person off of them. Because what happened when I said that, especially if I'm standing right there. They have to, because you ain't telling that person they're being saved. You're saying because you are saved. Can we get true for now? Oh, y'all want to jive. I can't deal with that. No, this thing across the board. If we don't take it, if we don't take the word like that, it then it's just for somebody else. Well, I guess the enemy all over me anyway, so God is holding me up, so I might as well finish while he got me. Hold up, Maggie. The Lord is my strength. Come on, somebody. I feel good now. See, here's the thing. You know, I always tell people, I get it first. God started raking me over the coals. Oh my God. Bring it to my memory. Man. And sometimes he'll do that with you. Yeah, I don't want to preach that. And you don't hook me all up with it. Let me give you something else. Because right now I'm still, you know, God, you had to bring that up. Huh? Then he say, oh, you're not going to preach it? Yeah, I am, Lord. That's what I like about God. God, oh man, God knows us. Some of us don't know us. Some of us don't even know ourselves. But guess who know you through and through? That's God. Don't tell me you know yourself and tell me what you will do and you won't do. Just get in the right position, the right situation. Okay, let me move on. True holiness, we got that? Follow holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. Genuine faith in Christ both receives his input, receives his imputed holiness and also generates practical holiness in the believers. Okay? See, when I'm saved, the imputed holiness I already have. Now, in a sense, if I give a little illustration, when you get saved, God, if I pick up this flower, I'm going to break. Leave that alone. I'm not going to press my luck. God takes our sins, right? He takes our sins, but he also gives us something. He gives us his righteousness, his holiness. See, I am righteous, not in of myself, but I am righteous with the imputed righteousness of Christ. I cannot call the imputed righteousness of Christ unholy. Cannot do that. So if anybody, see, if I'm born again, Sister Tracy, the exchange is give me Christ on that cross and shedding his blood for me. Rich, give it to me. Give it to me, Rich. Give me what? Give me your sins. Okay. Wait, I'm not through with you. I'm going to give you something. See, it's an exchange going on, a spiritual exchange. You need to know that. See, a lot of people wearing you out, they don't know about my exchange. See, I got imputed. He placed it. Look here, Tish. He placed that. When I gave him my sin, I received something. So a lot of folk won't tell you that. No. You ain't gonna tell me. See, I cannot be saved if I didn't receive his righteousness when he took my sin. Matter of fact, walk with me now a little bit. Walk with me, Hebrew. Watch this. Come here. Walk with me. I'm getting vivid now. Hold this. No, you hold this. That's sin there. That ain't really sin. That's just an illustration. That's a prop. Woo! You want to get saved. Paul wanted all his people to get saved. Okay. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You receive him as your Savior. All right, then. Now, give me your sins. Take this. Now, put that on your coat. Yeah, yeah. And see, I'm not going to eradicate the flesh right now. So you're still going to have some problem, a tug of war with your flesh. See, I'm going to give you a new body that the flesh ain't going to bother you no more. But you're all going to get that at the same time. You ain't going to get that right now. So I'm going to give you enough grace. And I got not only do you have my righteousness, you got the Holy Ghost living in you. Huh? Great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So when that dude in the world try to beat you all up and do damage to you, you need to know something about who you are in Christ. See, a lot of our problems, you just don't know who you are. See, when you really know who you are, you can tell, say, you know who you're messing with. What about the blood? You see, but watch this. Say, listen, hold it. Y'all work with me now. Be patient with me. I'm fired up now. Feeling better. Give me this. Watch this. Now, I'm going to ask for your sins, but you want to hold them. All right, give me the sin. Ma'am, I can't give you this. See, I cannot save you and not give you this. Watch it. I cannot save you and not take your sin. Because I'm going to do something with them. I can't let you have them. If I want to do something with them, I want to cast them as far as the east is from the west. And I remember them no more, no more, no more, no more. You cannot be saved if you're not willing to give him your sin. See, he's not going to impute his righteousness on top of your sin. You got to let him have his sin in exchange for his righteousness. See, folk don't have understanding this thing. That's why we mope, we do it. But when you get understanding, you say, well, it's more to this. It ain't just saying a few words. Okay. Y'all got me excited. I'm tearing stuff up. Okay, let me move on. I got you down to holiness, right? True holiness. True holiness. Genuine faith in Christ both receives his imputed holiness and also generates practical holiness in the believer. Now, the practical holiness is that if I know all of this, I'm going to try to live a life that glorify God. That's your practice. There are some things that I know I can do them, but I got to keep in mind my practical holiness. See, watch this. See, you can't do nothing and dirty up Christ's imputed holiness. You can't touch that. You can't touch the Holy Spirit living in you. But God said, there are some practical things I want you to do. That's why I say, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. All right? I'm going to help you if you allow me to control you. All right? So even, watch this, part of our practical holiness is confess your sin when you sin. Say, God, I did it. Forgive me. He said, I'm just and faithful, I'll clean you back up. And you know what? Part of our service, see, God, when we sat at the beam seat, it's going to be for our service to see what sort it was. Was it that service that pleased God? But watch this. I believe part of that service is when you know you're in sin as a believer now. Not talking to unbelievers. And you confess that thing. And when God says, I'm faithful and just, I forgave you. Now, I like this now. Now, this is very important. Where I'm coming from, John, what? Confess your sins, I'm faithful and just, forgive you. 1 John 1:9. He says, okay, yeah, you sin. Still got my imputed righteousness. But I forgave you, child. But look what I'm going to do. Now, the same, watch it. Hang with me. Keep your glove out. You got to catch this one. I done sinned, and he done forgave me. Look, and then he said, I cleanse you. You like you clean the dishes or something? You got it. You want to clean it right. And you, watch it. And you ain't got them dishes cleaned that good. You left something in it. You go back and clean it right. But I got news for you. You want to hear? When God cleaned you, he don't let nobody call it dirty or common. He got on Peter for that, didn't he? He told Peter. So you got to walk in your cleanness once you don't confess it. Because you calling God a lie if he said, I forgave you and I cleaned you. Now, what somebody else got to do with it when I've been clean? Amen. And then you tell me, you give me on something that was last week. Today. I confessed that. Why are you still on me? You don't believe your God could clean it, clean enough for you? See, when God, watch this. When God forgive us and clean us, he ain't necessarily cleaning us for everybody around us. He makes sure he cleans us, you for himself. That when he see you, we ain't got to do that one no more. Now, I'm still watching you because I'm not present. But that one, Well, you know, I still see you dirty about that same one. Now, you're going to make them get dirty again because they may want to say some choice words. Now, the show had to go back to the Lord. No, well, what I'm saying, if we get the facts, it's too much surface stuff that we're walking around with and we're happy with it. But when you get in the trenches, it ain't going to work. Because it's never all like, yeah, I got all these things the Bible say I got, but you can't explain it like that. So you remember, when someone come and get in your face, you say, I ask the Lord to forgive me. And don't get routed. See, you ain't got to get routed when you know what you're talking about. See, you get routed when they twisting you. No, you ain't. And say, so admit it. Yeah. But I ask the Lord to forgive me. See, you got me right there. Because I got an understanding of what that means. You confessed it. Yes, I did. My heart was broken, but I did. I did it, too, because I know I was saved, and I did it anyway. Watch this. Walk with me. Get right back to our subject. But I know I must practice holiness. So part of my practice was that I got to confess this thing. Now, practice. Look here. When I love my brother, my sister, I'm practicing it. And my practice, my service has to be accounted for. And I don't want it to be wood, hay, or stubble. Because I want a crown. Like I said, Lord, I don't feel like preaching. But it's my practice. This is one of my services to you. See, because of how I feel or what I'm going through, it don't take away from me my practice, my duty toward him. And I know he'll forgive me for the thought. I said, Lord, forgive me. And I know he'll cleanse me. And then I can go. You know, let me move on. I don't want to get too deep for y'all in here. Okay. Where we at now? Last one. Huh? Yes. Oh, yeah, I got stuck on holiness. Oh, man. I mean, what I was talking about is right there. I was talking about chastisement. And there it is. Okay. All right. Now, these are things that a Christian cannot do without. Heavenly chastisement. Unconfessed An unforsaken sin in a Christian's life must receive chastisement. God said, you're gonna get whipped my way. Not before, not later, on my time, my way is between me and you and nobody else. The how I'm a chasing you is mine. When is mine. Where is mine. Time is mine. But I got to do it. Chastisement from the Father. It says, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Highlight this. Everybody that's a Christian, God would take you behind the woodshed. Now, don't be talking about, I'm a Christian, but I'm not. Okay, well, maybe you don't. He done hit me two or three times. He says, whereof all are partakers, then are ye not sons if you're not chastened. Chasten me because I want to be connected to you. Without saving faith in the Lord, we have nothing of eternal value. But with him, we have all things. 1 Corinthians 3:21. 1 Corinthians 3:21. If you can put that up there for me. Yeah. And I'm going to just end right here. And you can take these down for you guys who are taking notes. In my conclusion, I end right here. My brothers and sisters, there are four links with Christ that are seen in the epistle of the Colossians that binds the believer to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Colossians 2:13 says we are quickened with Christ, made alive. I'm not dead, I'm quickened, I'm made alive with Christ. But I want you to see this with Christ, risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1. I'm risen with Christ.